This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
Funny. Again, I don't mean to laugh because this is a serious story, but it's funny in that here's what's not news. The mayor of Atlantic City, New Jersey, has been arrested. It's not news because Marty Small, in being arrested, is the fifth mayor since 1982 to be arrested. Here's why it is news. Unlike almost all of his predecessors, he was not arrested for anything having to do with political corruption or anything along those lines or anything having to do with abusing his office. He was arrested along with his wife, who's the superintendent in schools, for beating their daughter. This is a fascinating story, and whenever there's a story like this, I wonder how appropriate it is to talk about because it's family drama and Marty Small and his wife, LaQueta, are entitled to the presumption of innocence. And I don't want to, if this accusation that he was beating his daughter turns out not to be the case. By the way, a big shout out to our listenership on Talk 1400 WOND in Atlantic City. But this is of interest everywhere because what do you do? How do you treat it when a public official like a mayor beats his wife or his child or his brother or anybody? Here you have a situation where the mayor and his wife were apparently filmed beating up their teenage daughter by the daughter's boyfriend, who the parents had disapproved of. This all came out yesterday. So Small and his wife were filmed over a video chat while berating and choking their child. This is according to documents filed by the county prosecutor. The mother and father were charged on Monday with endangering the welfare of a child. And Marty Small says he's not going anywhere. First question is, look, I guess if you're innocent, why would you resign, right? If you're not innocent and you know this is on video, how do you even begin to mount a defense? Again, we don't know what's on this video, but if the boyfriend really does have video of the mayor and his wife choking this girl, his daughter, that's, I would think, pretty tough to run away from. Now, maybe he doesn't have video. Maybe he's going to say he just saw it on the video chat and he'll testify to that. Then maybe he's got a little wiggle room here. But the pair have been accused of physical abuse beginning in December of last year, including allegations they allegedly beat the 16-year-old unconscious with a broom, hit her with a belt, and punched her in the mouth. That's according to the affidavit. Much of the physical and verbal abuse was secretly caught on camera by the girl's boyfriend, whom the parents disapproved of and demanded she stop seeing. You know, I understand. I think my dad hit me twice and it was very light. Nothing like in my whole life. Nothing at all like what you're seeing here. Belts and things like that. But I have a lot of friends that I grew up with, and especially people that are a little older, that were regularly beaten by their parents. And some of them say that it really helped instill a sense of discipline. I'll be honest, she may not want me to share the story, but my wife and all of her 8 siblings, their father was a very tough disciplinarian and would use corporal punishment to discipline their children. Now, I don't think any of them were ever choked. So that's where I wonder what Marty Small is going to say. If he did engage in this kind of conduct, is he going to say this is corporal punishment, this is spanking, which is permitted, even though it's kind of out of fashion for a lot of parents these days? Or is this, I don't know. Is he going to say he didn't do any of this stuff? So the boyfriend also provided a cache of photos that she had sent him showing her injuries. So the boyfriend, who we don't know his name, told investigators he witnessed over video chat. See, I guess that's what they're going to try and say, is he's saying he witnessed it. He has an interest in going after the parents because he knows the parents don't like him and the boyfriend's lying. I guess that's the whole defense. So the boyfriend told investigators he witnessed over video chat in December of 2023 how Marty Small screamed at her and was physically abusive, specifically by choking her. One video clip, which appeared to be a screen recording, captured an incident around January 3rd that showed Small berating his daughter as she whispered to her boyfriend on a video chat that she was scared. And in the video, he says, "Don't make me hurt you." That's what the mayor apparently told his daughter. Now, as terrible as that sounds, that's not criminal. If we're going to start arresting every parent that screams and berates and threatens their children, we're going to have to build a lot more jails. So the daughter responds when he says, "Don't make me hurt you. That's all you do. That's all you do anyway." The argument continued moments later with the daughter saying, "Stop pushing me." The mayor says back, "I'm telling you, you're going to do harm to yourself if you get in my space again." He says moments later, "Sit down, I'll smack that weave out your head." Then the mayor yells, "I don't care where I push you at, I'm going to earth slam her down the steps. Come past this me and I'm going to grab you by the head and throw you on the ground. Nothing is going to happen to me." In another recorded incident on January 7th, the girl was filmed asking her mother to get off her neck and said she had punched her in the mouth, according to the affidavit. Laquetta Small said, "Who are you telling to get off you, girl? You don't run me. You don't run me. And I'm going to touch you whenever I want to touch you." That's the superintendent of schools, by the way. I can't imagine why the school system isn't up to snuff. Laquetta Small was also accused of dragging the teen by the hair and beating her with a belt on her shoulders after her boyfriend dropped food off at their house. The mayor's daughter told investigators that on January 13th, her father threw her in a shower, slammed her, and choked her. He then hit her in the head with a broom, knocking her out, she said. Now, again, if it's only her word and the boyfriend's word, they could always say that they're lying. If there's video of any of this, that's a totally different ball game. So the girl's boyfriend said she later showed him on video chat the bent broom handle he had allegedly used to beat her. He provided several images of the girl's injuries all over her body, including swelling, scratches, bruising, and hair loss. The charges came to light during a mental health training day at Atlantic City High School when the teenager discreetly told staff that she was suffering from abuse and wished to see a counselor. A school employee pulled her out of class later the same day, and they spoke in the hallway for over 2 hours where she described the incident with the broom. The teen added that she had previously told the principal of that school, who said she would report the alleged abuse to the Department of Child Protection and Permanency. When a therapist contacted this girl's mother, the superintendent, Laquetta Smalls, she said that her daughter had been sneaking around with a boyfriend they didn't like after they told her to stop seeing him, causing tension in the house. Small and his wife denied the allegations in an interview with the Department of Child Protection officials and said their daughter had made it up because she was mad at them for taking her phone away. Look, that's possible. This would not be the first 16-year-old that was ticked off for getting her phone taken away and wanted to make something up about her parents. The mayor's home was searched on March 28th, and on April 1st, his wife and their daughter, this whole happy family, attended a press conference in which the mayor said he has nothing to hide. During the search, detectives found a handwritten letter dated December 21st of last year in the daughter's closet in which the girl threatened to run away from home. And this is sad, and I wonder how much of this is even my business, right? Because, look, if a mayor is stealing money, that's my business. If it's a family dispute that involves he said, she said, then I feel like it's not my business. But if, you know, a teenage girl is living in a home where she's being abused repeatedly, I think that's everybody's business. Quote, this is what the letter says. Honestly, I'm going for peace. I keep disappointing you all. I'm just going to go. Must hate me for not being perfect. Getting called dumb, crazy, mental, and sick hurts, but that's okay. I guess I'm the biggest disappointment for defending myself. So in addition to the child endangerment charges, Marty Small is also charged with third-degree terrorist threats and third-degree aggravated assault. He and his wife have also been slapped with a disorderly person's simple assault charge. So, you know, the county prosecutor, Will Reynolds, was on this show, and he struck me as a very serious guy and a very honest prosecutor, honestly. I don't think he's the kind of person that would bring charges without sufficient evidence, but Marty Small's entitled to the presumption of evidence. I'm curious what you think about this whole situation. The only facts we have are the ones that I just brought to you. I'll tell you this. Whenever, you know, I've met Marty once or twice. He was on the show once or twice. And whenever I've seen him and whenever I've read reports about him, even just on video, and you could see on video and tell me if you disagree, he comes across as very angry. He comes across as a guy that's simmering, that's just waiting to explode. You get the sense that the guy's ready to punch you in the face at any given moment. So, you know, there are some people that if they beat their child, you would be shocked. Marty Small, I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think anybody that's observed Marty throughout his entire time in public life would be shocked. You know, I will say this about Marty Small. He was arrested previously and charged with voter fraud. But if it was not voter fraud, it was some similar crime, but never convicted. He was acquitted at trial, unlike so many Atlantic City politicians. But, you know, I just don't know what it is about a town that's only 48 blocks that all the mayors, except my friend Don Guardian, end up going to jail. The former mayor, Frank Gilliam, pleaded guilty to wire fraud, admitting in court to stealing more than $87,000 from a nonprofit that he created. Before that, you had Bob Levy, sentenced to 3 years probation for defrauding the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs after admitting to never being a Green Beret. Michael Matthews, who could forget Michael Matthews, pleaded guilty for accepting a $10,000 bribe from a federal agent posing as a mob-connected representative of a janitorial company. Who could forget James Usry? State police arrested Usry along with the city council president and two other councilmen and nine others in a wide-ranging crackdown on alleged bribery and corruption in city government. I don't know what it is about this town, but who would want the job of being mayor? They all got arrested. So I'd love to know your thoughts. 800-848-9222. I'm curious what you think of the mayor's decision not to resign. And based on the facts that I just read to you, which is all that's available to us, the stuff that's in the affidavit, does this ring true to you? Does this sound like a teenage girl who may be battling with some issues of mental health, issues of depression, and she's angry at her parents, as the mother said there, and that's why she's saying this. And a boyfriend that knows the parents of his girlfriend don't like him, and there, and then he's trying to back her story up so that they get in trouble. Or does this sound like a couple that abuses their daughter? Now, a spank is one thing. Even a spank with a belt is one thing. But choking, I mean, they don't even choke on The Simpsons anymore. That's another thing. 800-848-9222. Let me know what you think. 800-848-9222. I am, the whole thing is sad. If she's making it up, it's sad that she's in this kind of a mental and emotional state that she would make something up about her parents. And even if she is making it up, you don't get the sense that this is exactly a warm, loving household. If these two are really beating her and choking her with impunity, I have no sympathy whatsoever for these two. I think that is absolutely reprehensible. What do you think? 800-848-9222. Let me begin with E. Frank. Hello.
Yes, hello, Frank. I would just like to say, I had a father who's now deceased who was, he never told me if he was a B-52 bomber, a radar employee in the U.S. Marine Corps. He would come from time to time. He wouldn't be here all the time. He would dress up as a factory supervisor. And he was extremely abusive. He would just simply beat me and rip me in front of my public elementary school for just being friendly with my first childhood girlfriend, who was Filipino and English Methodist Episcopalian. And no one would question what he would do. I had to take him of grabbing me by my neck, slamming me on the floor, embarrassing me in front of everyone, and howling with these weird type of extreme sadistic forms of tormentuous, torturous forms of shouting at me. And no one would question him. And no one in those days would take pictures.
So given your experience,
E. Frank, what can you expect the mayor of Atlantic City?
Right.
He seems
Thank you. All right. I mean, I don't even know why I bother, but I do. 800-848-9222. Bruce is in Las Vegas listening on K-Dawn. Hello, Bruce.
Frank, what are you doing?
Yeah, you tell me, man. You tell me.
I'm chilling. We talked last week about the data recovery thing, but you know, I'm listening to this conversation, and you know, like, you know, I grew up. My dad was in Vietnam. He was a military guy, you know, and like, if I was really stupid, he would smack me pretty good with a belt, you know. But I mean, strangling is like a little bit far, isn't it?
I certainly think so. I mean, I think that's next level. Once you get into the choking of someone.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So, like, you know, and then you talk about the mayor. Like, what's up with the mayors over there? They're all going to jail?
So, in this situation, based on the facts that I just reported from the affidavit, does the story ring true to you? Do you think he's engaging in some sort of abuse, or do you think she's making this up?
Well, I mean, you know, it's all hearsay, right?
Right. Well, I mean, if I don't know what's on these video recordings, but we'll see how much of these video recordings show other stuff. But I don't know. I have to think that the prosecutor thought this was a pretty strong case before arresting the mayor for this. I would think so.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't understand like the whole thing with all the mayors getting arrested. But I mean, if there's video, we don't really know what the video is, right?
Right.
I mean, we don't know unless.
Right.
So when does like the public get to see it?
Well, I mean, I guess that's up to the judge in the case. My guess is probably not for a while unless there's a plea in this. But we'll see. Probably as part of discovery. Bruce, thank you. 800-848-9222. Jay in the Buckeye State of Ohio. Hello.
Hey, Frank. I work with an electrician who was raised Mennonite called Plain. And he told me some abusive stories about his past, and I didn't believe him. And he showed me his back with the scars on it. His father would take a switch, a piece of a peach tree, and whip the heck out of him. And he was a darn good electrician, but his stories were horrendous about his father and growing up. Thank God I wasn't Mennonite.
Thank you. Thanks, Jay. Thank God indeed. All right. 800-848-9222. We'll continue with your call straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
By Fleetwood Mac. This is a birthday bumper music selection from Carol Markowitz, the columnist for the New York Post. She's on TV all the time, one of the most interesting and most intelligent pundits out there. So happy birthday, Carol Markowitz. Hopefully it is a good one. She's another person that moved from the New York area all the way down to the Sunshine State of Florida. There are many of them, that is for sure. 800-848-9222. We talk a little bit about the arrest of the mayor of Atlantic City, Marty Small. Speaking of Atlantic City, I am actually making my first foray to Atlantic City all year this weekend, going for my friend Jeffrey Goldstein's bachelor party, which I'm pretty excited about going back there. And Jeffrey's a good guy. I'm excited to, you know, hang out with him and his brother Brian, who's a close friend, and some of his other buddies who I don't necessarily know. But you know what I didn't realize until yesterday, really, is that I'm going to be there. The last few times that I've been there when it's nice out, my favorite activity to do is to just walk the boardwalk, is to just walk. If I have my druthers, I like to do a leisurely boardwalk stroll from one end and spend, you know, it's 4.8 miles. So depending on the pace that you walk at, it could take hours to walk the whole length of the boardwalk. I love to do that. Do it the whole day. Start at one end and then pop into all the various places on the boardwalk, the stores, the bars, the restaurants, maybe have a cigar. You always meet interesting people on the boardwalk. But the last couple of times that I was down there and the weather was nice, I was kicked in the face by the horrible odor of marijuana. And I mean, it was bad. It was really terrible. And I don't care if people smoke marijuana. It doesn't bother me what people choose to do it with them, with their own life. I just really hate the smell. It really does. To me, it smells like a skunk. And I realized that I'm going to be there Saturday, which is April 20th, 4:20, which is the national and maybe even international day of marijuana and smoking pot. So if it's bad on a normal day, I can't imagine what it's going to be like on 4:20. I have to think that's going to be, I think it's going to be rough. So we'll see. I might take some, if I do my leisurely boardwalk stroll, I might do a live Facebook video so that you can see everybody toking and lighting up their spliffs on the boardwalk. I'll do it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan. That's facebook.com/MoranoFan. But it's funny. So initially, I never pay attention to anything that doesn't have to be done today or tomorrow, right? So if it happens a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, it may as well be a year from now. And that always comes back to screw me. So whenever we arranged this, the best man, Jeffrey's brother Brian, says, all right, can you Venmo me however much money for the deposit? And then in a couple of weeks, I'll ask you for more money. And, you know, we'll cover all Jeffrey's meals and we'll cover the hotel rooms. Fine. So I've sent a couple of $100, whatever it was. And then he sends a reminder a couple of days ago. Hey, everybody, we need the balance of the money that you all owe for this. I said, what? I owe more money? Well, how could that be? Yeah. I said, does that apply to me also? Do I owe that? Yeah, you do. How much? I don't want to say it, but it's a substantial amount of money. I said, whoa, hold the phone. Wait a minute. I already gave you $220. What is this for? Well, I figured we would all use this for the two dinners and maybe for drinks and stuff for Jeffrey and then for whatever other expenses. And then if we have money left over, we can always give it back. All right. I can deal with that. Being in Atlantic City and getting money back would be a nice change given my track record. So that's nice. So I'm hopeful that we get some nice weather this weekend. We'll see where that goes. You know what I would like to do is this film Civil War has been getting great reviews and it looks pretty interesting. There is an IMAX theater at the Tropicana. I wouldn't mind trying to see this movie in IMAX. I don't know if anybody has seen it. Let me know what you think, but I'm intrigued by this film. And whenever you get to see a film in IMAX, it's always kind of a real treat because that's not something you get to do all the time. And, you know, if it gets to the point where it's raining and we are done gambling and drinking and eating, that might be a nice change for everybody. Also, there's a whole bunch of these guys that are golfers. So I think me and one other guy are not golfers. So if maybe when they go golf, if they go golf, maybe I can get a movement going to see this this IMAX movie. But you know what? It is nice. We're going to go to two nice restaurants and it'll be nice not to have to worry about paying because we've already paid. So we'll see. I'm not really much of a bachelor party guy. I went to one about a year ago. And then it had been years before I had been to another one. So that's, that's that. So, but, you know, how could I resist? It was on the 48 most interesting blocks in the world. So I absolutely was going to check it out. So be it. All right. If you want to email me, we're going to read your email correspondence a bit later. frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. It's a little tricky because it is a plural networks, Red Apple Audio, frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. And you can certainly give us a call at 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. So that's, that's our plan. I am, I'm going to already work on my itinerary. You know what? We haven't checked out yet, because it hasn't been conducive to us scheduling wise last time, a couple of times we were down there, is this new water park at the Showboat. So I think there's a consensus for checking out this water park, which would be fun. I have not been there yet. And there's also a movement to do go-karts, and we'll see how that goes as well. Larry is in Brooklyn. You saw Civil War?
Yes, indeed, Frank. My son's a pilot for JetBlue. Both of us anxious to see it because we saw the trailer. It is, in both our opinions, possibly the worst movie we've seen in 20 years.
Really? Good. I'm glad
it's It's horrific. And it was so bad, we had to watch the whole thing because we couldn't be, we couldn't believe that it could get any worse.
So, Larry, without giving away the story, tell me what was it about it that was no good?
Oh, my God. Where do I start? The score, for example, the music, background music, mm-hmm. It put your nerves on edge. It's like fingernails on the blackboard. It was, that was horrific. The acting was some of the worst we've ever experienced.
Really? Wow.
Yes, yes. And there was no storyline. Huh. It went nowhere. We were stunned.
You know, I'm so glad to have this conversation with you, Larry, because now one of two things will happen. Now, either I won't see the film, and after listening to you, I won't feel bad about not seeing it, or I am going to see the film and have such low expectations about what to expect from this film that the film will almost have to exceed what you're saying because it sounds terrible.
Well, I would recommend, despite my review, that you do see the film because I want you to experience something this horrific before you leave this this coil, mortal coil.
Wow.
And I'd like to hear your opinion of it when you see it.
Well, you know, if you like I said, I don't get to go to an IMAX theater often. It's been years. So if there's one way to see it, maybe it's in IMAX. Maybe I'll check it out this weekend.
IMAX
we'll
is great. The last time I was at IMAX, I saw the Rolling Stones at the concert they did in I think the Beacon Theater, and it was a beautiful experience. It's almost like being in the audience.
Remarkable technology. Hey, Larry, thanks for the review. And you said your son felt the same way about the picture that you did.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's
he and I. When he was a little kid, we saw some movie. I'm glad we don't remember the name of it. That we walked out of the movie theater. It was that bad. This is right up there with that.
All right. Well, that's rough. Thank you.
I'm really anxious to hear your review.
Thank you. Well, I'm not exactly going to make an effort to run to the theaters now, but especially because, you know, we're only there for 2 days and we have a packed agenda. But I was thinking if it rains or if those guys all go golfing, maybe I would do the IMAX thing. But a lot of other things too. I'll bring a book too. You know, I'm reading John Arezzi's book, who has been a guest on the show a couple of times, talking about pro wrestling and the New York Mets. It's really interesting. If you're interested in country music, the Mets, or wrestling, I do recommend the book. It's called Matt Memories by John Arezzi. It's quite good. And I'll bring Tulsi Gabbard's book as well, which I'm now reading without an index, but we'll see how that goes. All right. 800-848-9222. Coming up in a few minutes, I want to get into a story that has not gotten a great deal of attention, but I think is pretty important. You're also welcome to comment on the Marty Small situation as well. And we're going to go through your emails as well. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Virgin Sea, 'cause I what's ahead of me. On board, I'm the captain, so climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore, and I'll try.
Come Sail Away by Styx, a terrific, terrific song, and a birthday bumper music selection by James Quigley. Happy birthday, James Quigley. I hope it is a good one. Hey, I have this podcast, which I think is quite interesting, quite good. It's called The Racket Report. If you haven't checked it out yet, then I hope you will. You could find it on any podcast app. You just search The Racket Report, or you can go to redapplepodcastnetwork.com and just search The Racket Report on that website, and you will automatically, you know, see all the latest editions of it. So I posted an episode yesterday with Joseph McBratney. Do you know who Joseph McBratney is? Well, if that name sounds familiar in criminal circles, that's because Joseph McBratney's father was James McBratney. And that's really the murder that put John Gotti on the map. John Gotti, who would later go on to become the boss of the Gambino crime family. And the way history records what happened is that James McBratney was part of this crew that kidnapped the nephew of Carlo Gambino, kidnapped Manny Gambino, and I think he ultimately died. And then John Gotti, because you don't really make a habit of kidnapping mob bosses' nephews, he and Angelo Ruggiero disguised themselves as police officers, bursted into this bar on Staten Island, and killed James McBratney, only 30 years old. And it was a really interesting case because Gotti pled guilty to manslaughter, but only got 3 years in prison. Can you imagine that? Only 3 years in prison for manslaughter? I mean, wow. Must have had some lawyer. You know who his lawyer was in that case? Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn, who had been a federal prosecutor who prosecuted Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, got them the death penalty, who was was counsel to Joseph McCarthy, along with Robert F. Kennedy Sr. in the U.S. Senate, and was later an attorney for Donald Trump, among others, and was the mentor to my friend Roger Stone, and who was a character in the play and the miniseries Angels in America. Roy Cohn was John Gotti's lawyer in that case. And I actually knew the prosecutor in that case, a fellow by the name of Phil Minardo. So in any event, imagine that. Imagine you're 10 years old and your father is dead. 10 is a very tough age for something like that. So I asked Joe McBratney, what's that like? What's that like losing your father in such a brutal manner at 10 years old? And he was very forthright with his answer.
The family was very protective of giving us information other than, we have to say goodbye to daddy, or that your father was killed. You know, it's, and understanding that, we were never to a funeral. Nobody ever died before. That was the first one that my brother and my sister and myself had to experience. And it was tough. It was, you know, I remember my mother coming in and telling my brother and I and my sister about my father's murder that night he was murdered, that May 22nd. I can rerun that night through my head anytime at any given moment, which, you know, it's my father was who he was and he did what he did, but that doesn't make it easier to lose him.
A really interesting interview, and I was glad to do it. If you want to listen to the whole interview, just go to redapplepodcastnetwork.com, search The Racket Report. It's the most recent edition, or you can just search The Racket Report on any podcast app, and you'll hear the entire interview with Joseph McBratney. I think you'll find it as interesting as I did. It's one you're not going to want to miss. All right. 800-848-9222. That's 800-848-9222. Joaquin is in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Hi, Joaquin.
Ryan. Yes. You going to go play Baccarat?
Probably. I have to see how much money is left in my checking account after I pay my bills. If I'm going down there with $300 to play with, then I'll probably stay away from Baccarat because you can lose that in 6 minutes. So if I have a little more than that, then I'll probably make a play at the Baccarat table.
I actually had played a lot of Baccarat on somebody else's money.
Oh, that's the way to do it.
And I had compiled hundreds of shoes and went through it as to what happens in the game. And it's just totally amazing how it's such a 50-50 proposition. And for everything that happens, let's say that you chop once. In other words, you win banker once, you win player once.
Right.
Then it would go to a two after. In other words, for every time it does that two times, it'll go that you'll get player-player or banker-banker. And at the end of the day, it all averages out so amazingly. Now, did you ever notice how you get some of these Chinese guys around the table and they wait for it to hit three times on one side?
Yeah, of course.
It makes a lot of sense because as you get higher up on the amount, on the times it runs, the instances are so much smaller that you have better odds of winning at that level.
Yeah, I've seen that before. And, you know, look, my method I don't recommend to people. It's basically a version of the Martingale method, but basically is I'll start out because you do have because of the way the rules go in terms of when that third card comes, it's a slight edge for the banker, but I usually will start out with a player bet because I don't want to have to pay the commission when the banker wins. So I'll usually start out with a player bet. And then if player wins, I'll take that same bet. Let's say I'm lucky enough to find a $40 table. Then if I win the $40 on player, I'll then play $40 on banker. If banker hits, I'll go back to player. But if player hits, then I'll stay on banker and I'll double my bet. Now, hopefully banker then hits and I've won $80. But if then player hits again, then I'll double my bet again and I'll have 160 on banker, which is great if the things are going to pretty close to 50-50. But I've been in shoes where I've done this. And I keep doubling my bet, and I lose all my money within six hands because it's been player six or seven times in a row. So the most important thing that I try not to do is ever drink alcohol when I'm playing Baccarat, which I've had mixed success sticking with that. And the other thing is to walk away when you hit a certain amount of money. So what I try to do is once I'm ahead, say $1,000 after tipping the dealer, then I'll try and walk away. But you need enough cash to be able to ride through the dips of the player and the banker bets.
Well, you know something? I mean, I've actually sat there and I watched. I was my friend's sidekick. So, I mean, we got the high roller treatment. And I watched him lose $10,000 in five bets. And I'm going to tell you right now, you never, 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 ever. He took me along to be his conscience or whatever. Originally, he gave me books on blackjack, but he would never listen because he was so emotional. He'd get angry, and then he would start escalating the bets. And the problem is you never know when that run is going to come.
Right.
You have to really sit there, and you have to stop yourself because you'll see runs. And again, if you analyze the shoes like I did, hundreds of shoes, it's just so amazing how everything is proportional.
When you say proportional, what do you mean proportional?
In other words, for every time, like I said before, you get a
single. Right. I mean, it's like betting on a coin toss.
Close to two. Right.
Well, if you flip a coin 1,000 times, it's going to come pretty close to tails 500 times and pretty close to tails and heads 500 times.
Exactly. But you don't know when the runs come.
Right. Exactly. If it's banker 10 times in a row, Frank Morano, if I'm betting with my standard method, I'm broke. I'm beyond broke. Thank you, Joaquin. You know, sometimes, and that's why it's such a scary game to play, because you win so quickly, but you also lose so quickly. See, craps, it takes a little while to lose all your money. I mean, unless you're betting stupidly, but if you bet kind of standard, it takes a little while to lose all your money. Blackjack, you could lose your money a little quicker, but depending on how you bet and you know what, you know, if you're upping your bets when you lose. But Baccarat, the game moves so quickly that you can really earn a small fortune or lose a large fortune in minutes. And I remember what often happens when I'm playing Baccarat is I'll be just shy of the goal that I'm going to walk away at, right? Let's say I'm at my goal that I'm walking away at is being up 1,000. And let's say I'm up 800. I said, well, then they're starting a new shoe. Perfect time to walk away. Look, I said I was going to be here until I got 1,000. I only have 800. And then 1,000 doesn't happen. Zero happens quicker than 1,000 happens. And the other thing that is usually an indication that it's probably time for me to leave is, and this has even happened on bets that I've won, when what Joaquin is describing, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the same outcome arrives. Now, if you're not familiar with Baccarat, just picture it as a coin toss. Picture you're betting heads or tails, and then tails comes out 6 or 7 times in a row, and everyone's waiting. They're waiting for heads. They're waiting for heads. No, it's not heads, it's tails. So, and this is why I was hoping John Katsimatidis would call in today, because he was just in Las Vegas and he apparently had some success at the blackjack table. And I wanted to ask him some of his methodology, but I think he's going to be here tomorrow. So there have been times, even on bets that I've won, where, and I'm cool as a cucumber, that you have guys that are sitting there celebrating. You have guys that are sitting there cursing. You have guys that are hitting the table. I don't do any of that. I am... Right now, I'm almost comatose. I'm so calm as can be. But there are times when the bet that I'm making with this method that I just described to Joaquin is so large that as I'm putting the chips in the betting circle, my hands are shaking because I'm internally so nervous that I'm touching that amount of chips. And the last time that happened to me where my hands were, where I was betting so large that my hands were shaking, I said, okay, that's an indication that is not a healthy amount of money to be betting. And I think I stopped. I don't remember the exact circumstances. It's been a while since I played, but we'll see. You know, a lot of the places don't have Baccarat, or they have Baccarat at tables that are so high, the commission, the wager, that you really can't play. Like the one hotel or one casino, it has $100 minimum. So how do you play the way I play? Now, sometimes, especially if I've had a martini or two, I'll go to that table and I said, all right, I'm only going to play one hand. I'll make a quick $100. Oh, I lost. Let me see if I can win it back. And then you win it back and sometimes you walk away. But if you go to a table that has, you know, a $40 minimum or a $20 minimum, those are a little bit more manageable in terms of handling the ebbs and flows of the Baccarat table. But I'm looking forward to going. So if you're around and you see me out there, please feel free to say hello. At least during the day, I am going to be decked out in my Other Side of Midnight gear, hat, shirt, and jacket. Not the Racket Report shirt anymore, because it has although maybe I will, who knows? It has a giant stain on the sleeve now. Some people have been giving me tips. I want to thank Lisa and I want to thank Ellen for both making the suggestion that they've had some luck with of putting magic marker on the shirt to cover this white thing that's on there. I don't know what it is, but the problem is that would work if it was a black t-shirt. But as you can see, if you go to the Other Side of Midnight online store, and again, if you do, please use that promo code Frank15. You will save 15% off. This, by the way, the link is store.othersideofmidnightshow.com. If you do go there, you'll see a picture of me with this Racket Report t-shirt on. It's navy. It's not black. It's navy. Oh, this was the story that I wanted to mention, and maybe we can delve into this a bit more together tomorrow. Should it be legal to draw a picture of someone naked, right? Let's say, you know, you're a fan of Matt Blaze. He occupies all your fantasies and you want to draw a picture of him naked, maybe paint it and display it for people. Should that be legal? I think most people would say, of course, that's art. Well, what if your paintbrush isn't canvas and acrylic paint? What if you do that on a computer? What if you create an artificial intelligence image, pornography, of real people depicted in AI pornography? Well, that is now prohibited in the UK by a new policy. And there's a big movement to make that illegal in the United States as well. Should it be? What's free speech and what's defamation? Should AI porn be illegal? Maybe we'll get into this more tomorrow. Help control the pet population. Get your dog or cat spayed or neutered.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.